I have a mentor from afar, a mentor from far away. His name's Rod Loy. He pastors First Assembly in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And one of the probably most transformational conversations I've had in just mentoring was I had about 2 or 3 hours that he blocked aside so I could just sit with him one afternoon and just hit him with questions. And then I hit him with a lot of questions, and then he hit me with a lot of answers. And then afterwards, he had some very specific things to share with me. It was a very life-changing, transformational thing. But one of the things that I learned from him as I've observed him over the years is as his church has grown, every year he repeats the same message at the beginning of the year or the end of the year. It's about a healthy church. And so I have shared parts of this message before, and I'm going to share it again. It's things that I've gleaned from him and then also kind of mixed in my own thoughts. But it's this idea of what is a healthy church, and I don't share that to get on to us about anything. For the most part, we are getting healthier and healthier every week, so it's a lot of fun. But this is just a baseline reminder of what a healthy church looks like so that as we grow personally, and as we grow corporately, and as we reach into a community, and as we reach people that are broken and bring them in, we just know how to operate in a very healthy way. Now, Matthew ends his gospel with a message from Jesus sharing the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. The book of Acts begins with God empowering his people to fulfill that commission. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about Jesus everywhere in the world. I mean, those are great things to consider. If you were to encapsulate our purpose as Belleville First Assembly, as a church, in one sentence, it would be create lifetime followers of Jesus. We want to see lost and broken people have an encounter with Jesus that changes their lives forever. That's like my heartbeat, to see lives changed. There is nothing more rewarding than seeing somebody that is broken, that is lost, that is apart from God, come back and to connect with God and to get to know him and to work with those individuals through those messy moments and those conversations, but to see them change over time. Isn't that fun? That is such a rewarding thing. We want to create lifetime followers of Jesus. As the early church engaged in Christ's mission, it grew quickly. So it's so much fun about reading the book of Acts. And in fact, over the month of January, we're going to explore the book of Acts, and we're going to explore again how the Holy Spirit empowers and works in us so that we're full of God's power to accomplish God's purposes. So that'll be part of the month of January. And also in a couple Sundays, Tim Land's going to be here, a missionary. And so they're just going to take the service and share with us as God has healed Tim. If for those that know Tim Land, his wife is Jenny, but she grew up here as a Caswell. And so they've been having a great kids ministry and now mission into the world. So they're going to come and talk about how God's releasing them to go back to Africa. So they're going to be here in January. But we're just going to talk about how God's power works and moves in our lives in the month of January. It's going to be a lot of fun and have 21 days of prayer. So it's going to be a great month to be a part of things here at Belleville First. But as Luke wrote Acts for his friend Theophilus, he included a summary statement of what the new church was like as it developed. So he just takes Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and he just kind of gives you this snapshot of a few sentences of this is what the church looked like. This is the characteristic of who they were. So it gives us a snapshot of a biblically healthy community. Some simple truths that become foundational elements as we move forward into this new year and into this new decade. They are helpful guardrails to keep in the back of our minds as we interact with one another and invite other people to grow with us. God created the church, so our goal should be to become the church and to always be the church that God wants us to be. So why is health important? Hey, let's just be reality. You can do more when you're healthy than when you're sick. You ever notice that? You start feeling sick, and all of a sudden, you just shut down. All you're like, I just want to take a nap. I just want to lay down. I don't want to move. And you ever watch that when you're not feeling well? All of a sudden, it's like the couch becomes your best friend, and you are just parked on the couch, you don't move. But you ever notice how when you've been sick like that, how it feels like you can't move, and then all of a sudden when you get better, you just like, you're like, all of a sudden it feels like you've had 85 cups of coffee because you're full of energy and you start moving and you can do everything because you suddenly realize when you were sick, you couldn't do much. But when you're healthy, how much more energy and vitality you have and how much more you can accomplish. Why is health important? It keeps people from getting hurt unnecessarily. Hey, if we were to all be honest, most of us have lived long enough to have at some point been hurt by people at a church somewhere. And church hurts hurt worse than most hurts in life. There's something about the vulnerability we have when we're gathered with God's people that a hurt from them hurts a lot deeper than a hurt from other people. So if we're healthy, we're going to avoid unnecessary church hurts. And let's just really be honest, people are drawn to life. People want to be around where there's life. Now, my wife and I lived in the desert for 5 years, and there was something about when you were in the desert, your eyes quickly went to where there was life. Be it the oasis where there's water, that really got your attention, or be it where there's just green plants where there's normally just brown dirt or dying shrubs, it's your eye automatically went to where there's life because life produces energy. Life gets our attention. We want to be around something that's alive. Think about most of you. You enjoy worship when there's a little bit of life to it than when it's just really kind of quiet and reserved. You enjoy the life. Now, the new Christ followers that were being added to the church daily were going against their culture. They were walking away from a culture that basically worshipped all their fake gods that they were falling away from, but mostly worshipped Caesar. And so they're falling away from that culture. So for them to make a transition from, I'm going from this life to this life, there had to be something worth moving over to step away from the life that they were leading to come into this new life of faith. There had to be something worthwhile for them to get involved in because there were great consequences for them to go from where they were to who they were becoming in Christ. So health was very important to them. There had to be a reason because they were being pushed away from their families. They were being pushed away from everything. So for them to become followers of Christ, there had to be something worthwhile to go after. So a healthy church was very important for them. And a healthy church needs to be very important to us. So what does a healthy church look like? Now, these traits are very important to think about, to consider, to have in our mind, because I am either making the church sick or I am making it healthy by how I interact with each other. I'm either contributing that way. I'm building the health of the organization or I'm making it sick. So I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can to build up the church, because why? We're God's church. We're not Mark Black's church. We're God's church. And so I want to make sure I'm doing what I can to make it as healthy as possible. So Acts 2, verse 42 starts this way. I'm just going to read portions of sentences. It starts this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, the first thing about a healthy church is a healthy church is a learning church. As a pastor, I strive to share things with you today that you can put into practice today and tomorrow. When I was a youth pastor, I always had these two views in mind because I'm pouring into teenagers, so I'm thinking about what can they use today, but also when they're 30. I had those two things in mind, and I really have that thought in mind for you too of what can you put into practice today, but also what can you use for tomorrow also. See, a core value that I operate under, that I'm pushing us to operate under, is this: the Bible is our guidebook for living. The Bible is my all-sufficient guide for what I believe and how I behave. You hear me say it a lot. The Bible's good stuff. Read it and apply it because it shows me how to live and how not to live. I strive to teach all of God's word and the things that I do, even the material that is uncomfortable at times or hard to get through. Because what? God's word is our guidebook. God's word directs us. God's word guides us. And it's important that we learn it and we know it. That's why being at Sunday school or being at different events that we have, like a women's Bible study and different things, are important. Or Wednesday night, our devotional time of just being together and learning God's word together. And then also taking the time to do your own devotions and to read and to study. It's so critical to your life so that you have God's word guiding you in what to do and in what to avoid. Continuing in Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. The contemporary English version puts it this way: they spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. A healthy church is a loving church. Fellowship is really simply just family being together. It's when I fellowship, it's when I can begin to develop relationships with others. I don't do life alone because everything is better together. The characteristic I really like about all of you is your genuine love and hospitality. Y'all are just fun to be around. There is just love with all of you and being around all of you. Continue to show patience, grace, mercy, and love to each other because we're all people in process. Our goal is to reach families and to build healthy families. And as we create a loving environment, families are going to want to be a part of that. Because they're like, hey, if I'm going to be at church, I want to be at a church where I feel welcome, where I feel loved, where I feel accepted, where I feel like people care about who I am. So it's important that we just practice that a healthy church is a loving church. Continuing on in Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A healthy church is a praying church. It's important that I spend daily time seeking God in prayer. Why? Because the battle is won in prayer. The biggest threat to my connecting with God, the biggest threat to my prayer life really ends up being busyness. I get so busy doing everything that I put aside really praying and seeking God. It needs just to be a priority of my life. That's why I like what Paul said when he's just like, pray continually, always be praying, constantly be connected to God. Because when I'm doing that, no matter what I'm doing, when I'm driving down the road, when I'm sitting at home doing the routine chores of folding laundry, when I'm mowing the lawn, when I'm shopping, when I'm working, no matter where I am, I'm just constantly want to be at a place where I'm just like constantly in conversation with my Savior. A core value that we have, we connect to God through worship and prayer. The best thing that we do as a church is pray. I love our focused time of praying together that we have as individuals when we can just get alone, put away distractions, and pray more deeply. And I love it when we have those moments where we all get together and pray. It's fun when we have those moments where people have needs and they just get out and everybody else just gathers around them and prays for them, encourages them. Those are neat. It's fun when we get together on Wednesday nights and we just spend time doing that also, where we're praying individually, where we're praying together. There's something that's just amazing, like when we just do that together and we pray and seek God's face. A healthy church is a praying church. Continuing on, Acts 2:43. A deep sense of awe came over them all. A healthy church is humble. God is everything. Everything we have comes from God. This church wouldn't exist if it was not for God at work and for Jesus establishing this church in this community. It's God's church. Jesus is the head. So we want to follow God's will and God's plan for God's church. This is Jesus' church. And we're going to trust Jesus to do what he can to help us to grow and to help us to reach a community and to reach a world. A healthy church is humble. Continuing on in 2:43, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. A healthy church is supernatural. The supernatural is when God does something that we cannot do. It could be spiritual enablements or gifts where God gives us things and God empowers us and uses us a certain way. It's supernatural when an individual is saved, restored, and set free. Life change in itself is supernatural when Jesus takes an upside down life and makes it right side up. And I love this because when God worked in the supernatural, especially when you look at in the New Testament context, I love this, the supernatural was performed not just by one person, but by many people. God's Holy Spirit distributes the gifts not just to the few, but to the many. God works through all of us, and God uses all of us. So then a core value that I have that comes out of that is everyone has a part to play together. Everything is better together. Everything is better in teams. Everybody has a place. So it becomes important that I find my niche, that I don't do things alone, that I find my place, that I get involved. Find your niche and make a lasting impact. Contribute to something bigger than yourself. And we really need everyone to participate. And there's a lot of people that do a lot of things around here. There's individuals that vacuum and clean bathrooms so that it's all nice. There's individuals that help out in the office. There's individuals that prepare communion when we do things. There's individuals that dedicate and donate their time to preparing and being the very best they can be in worship. There's individuals that are working up in the sound booth and doing things and working the lights and media up top. There's people that do so much. There's people that are working right now over in the kids ministry, investing in children. There's a lot of different things that we can do. So find your part and participate, and then help us to make a lasting impact. Continuing on, Acts 2:44, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. A healthy church is unified. A church is to be a safe place where we all connect and work together. A healthy church is unified. A healthy church is together. A healthy church is not a bunch of pockets of a bunch of different people, but it's everybody coming together to be together to accomplish God's plans. And so because a healthy church is unified, because a healthy church is working together, it becomes so important that we resolve conflict biblically. That when there's problems, when there's hurts, when there's things that keep it from being a safe place, that we work through that. Now, to resolve conflict biblically means that you will not always get your own way in the resolution, but that you work through it to bring peace and unity. Sometimes one of the things that can really kill unity is gossip, where we just talk about each other. We're just like, oh, did you see what Mark did? Can you see what Mark was wearing? Can you see how Mark was acting? Did you see all of that? And we just start talking about everybody. You want to know how to kill gossip really quick? First, refuse to listen. Amen. I'm just not going to listen. I'm not listening. You could really make it dramatic. La 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 la. You know, you just put your fingers in the ear. You know, you could be like, I rebuke you. You know. Get behind me, Satan! You know, you could do all that, but, you know, refuse to listen. And then kindly confront. Kindly confront the individual. Continuing on, Acts 2:45. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. A healthy church is generous. Generosity is about what you do with what you have. What do I do with what I have? What do I do with what God has blessed me with? My attitude and motive is more important to God than the amount given. The amount I give is never an issue when my attitude and motives are aligned with God's heart. So I watch my heart, and then I'm generous with what God's blessed me with. And one of the things I'm really impressed with all of y'all is how generous you have been as we've been rebuilding a local church. How generous you all have been with your time, and how generous you all have been with your very limited resources. It's been fun to watch how God has caused the generosity of everyone, and God has just multiplied that. It's fun. On most months, we have a good $3,000 extra from what all of our expenses are each month, which that's a lot of fun to have, because then we can build up and then we can do even things that we wouldn't normally be able to do. Like, we're going to re-carpet and redo the foyer. We'd like to redo the stage area up here. There's some fun things. There's some needs out in the parking lot that we have to do out there. In May, I'm working with an organization so we can get a bunch of churches together so we can do some community outreach together. So there's a lot of different things that we can do. So that extra that comes in, we're saving it so we can use it wisely to, one, help us to have a great place to gather together to worship, but two, to also impact a world. But thank you for your generosity. Continuing on, Acts 2:46, they worship together at the temple each day. A healthy church is committed. A healthy church is committed. Your commitment level directly impacts your spiritual development. You ever notice that? We're right at the time of the year. How committed I am to something impacts how much I develop out of that. You ever notice that? It's like we're starting that time of year where everybody's going to be like, oh my goodness, I ate 5,000 cookies for Christmas. Those Christmas pants I got last year with the stretchy band don't even work this year because this band is stretched to its max and I can't get everything into them. And so then I'm like, I either go get bigger stretchy pants or I work out. So what do? I'm going to call the gym on January 1st and I'm going to go every single day to the gym. And so then what do? We start working out. We're like, somebody brings us a cookie. We slap it out of their hands. Get thee behind me. You know, we're like, I'm not going to have that cookie. I'm going to watch everything that I eat. I'm going to start working out. I'm doing everything I can to work out, to move, to do all that. And by about January 10th, we're like, forget it. I'm getting the bigger stretchy pants. Broccoli just does not have the same impact as a sugar cookie with sprinkles on it. Broccoli might be better for my body, but all that cookie's from heaven. And so then we wonder why we're having to get bigger stretchy pants every year, because when we're not committed to the change that needs to take place, we just give up. And it's the same way with our spiritual development. My commitment level directly impacts my spiritual development. I saw a quote recently that was saying 30 to 40 years ago, 2/3 of Americans attended church regularly. Now it's 1/3. And then our definition of regular church attendance has changed. Where it used to be regularly church attendance was, I'm in church every week. And for me growing up, being in church every week meant I was at church at least 3 to 4 times during the week. Sunday morning, Sunday night. At the time, we had youth service on a different night. So when I was in high school, junior high school, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. 4 times a week. Now the average definition of church attendance is you're there twice a month. And you wonder why, as a culture, we see such a massive change taking place so rapidly around us. It's because going to church is now considered not necessary, not important, not valued, even by people that call themselves followers of Christ. Because we prioritize a lot of different things. And then what happens? We don't grow to the same level of depth or understanding. And we're not walking as closely with God and making the impact that we could have. Our spiritual development is directly influenced by our commitment level. But a healthy church is committed. Acts 2:46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. The Message puts it this way: every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful. Those are the fun meals to be together, aren't they? A meal that is a celebration, exuberant and joyful. Do you want to know a moment that was like that? when we got together a few weeks ago and we just had a Christmas dinner together here at the church, that was a meal that I would call a celebration, exuberant, and joyful. It was fun. We learned a lot of things about people because a healthy church is fun. You want to know the language of people that transcends language and culture barriers? F-U-N, fun. People are drawn to laughter. People are drawn to fun. You don't believe me? Go on vacation somewhere where there's a lot of vacationers and then get a street performer out there that's good or really bad. And it will draw a crowd. My wife and I went on vacation to visit some friends that lived in Honolulu, and we were there, and we are at some of the most beautiful beaches in the world in the background, and there's this street performer on the street doing something, and everybody's turning their back to the beach, everybody's turning their back to the sunset, everybody's turning their back to the beauty of nature just to watch this guy perform. It was funny. He was hilarious. Everybody's videoing it. He's passing around the tip hat, and we're like, no thanks, but you know, but that's that. But it's a lot of fun. Fun is a universal language. When we got together a few weeks ago to have dinner for those that came, we learned some fun things about people. We learned that there are some people that are uber competitive. We're not going to point names. That'd be gossip. We have some people that are very competitive. We learned that, but it was fun. There's something about just being together when we can laugh and do things, because there are parts of life that are hard. There are things that we deal with that are heavy on our hearts. There's a spiritual battle that we all face that wears us down at times. So there's something about when we can get together and when we can laugh and we can joke and we can just be together, not in a way that puts you down, but lifts you up. It's not that laughter at somebody's expense, but that laughter that just brings life and joy. And that little bit of healing that comes from just being able to laugh and enjoy being with each other. And then when you enjoy being with each other, you just want to be around each other even more. And even when you're facing difficult moments, you're just having fun together. A healthy church is fun. Acts 2:47 continues, all the while praising God. A healthy church is a worshiping church. God inhabits the praises of his people. If we're going to be honest, we all have worship preferences in this room. We all have styles that we prefer. We all have things that we like. We have song choices that we like, the way songs are played, the way instruments are and everything. I get that. We all have that. But we set those preferences aside and we take every opportunity just to worship together. Because a healthy church is a worshiping church. We just want to be together to worship our God. We just want to be together to praise our God. We just want to be together to exalt God's name together. Continuing on, 2:47. Not only were they all praising God, but they were enjoying the goodwill of all the people. The contemporary English version puts that phrase, everyone liked them. The ESV says it this way, having favor with all the people. A healthy church is influential. The result of all the other traits was that they began to impact their surroundings. As this church was fun, as this church was seeking God and praying and worshiping, as this church was generous, as this church was doing all that they could to serve and do everything, then God began to give them influence and they began to impact the world around them. It's important that we influence our community, that we influence our coworkers, our family, our neighbors, and so on. Be so in love with Jesus and so loving toward others that they want what you have. Be so concerned for others that you want them to know Jesus like you do, and you are willing to do what is necessary to connect them with God. That's a two-sided coin there. On one hand, I want to be so in love with Jesus. I want to be so focused on knowing God and walking with Him in a real way that when others look at me, they're like, man, I want what Mark has. They're just curious. But also, not only am I just so in love with Jesus, but I'm also so in love with people that I want them to have what I have. Because sometimes we can be really in love with God, but not as much in love with people that we're concerned about sharing with them what we have. But I want to be both. I want to be in love with God and in love with people. I want them to have what I have in God, and I want to do what I can because I love them so much to share what I have in God with them. I want them to have it too. So I love both. I love God with everything in me, and I love people like I love myself. And then finishing Acts 2:47, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Don't we want that part? Each day the Lord added. It's Jesus' church. It's Jesus that saves people. It's Jesus that changes people. I don't save people. You don't save people. Jesus saves people. What do? I share with them what I've seen and I've heard. I share with them my experiences. I share with them maybe my understanding of this book. I share with them that, but it's Jesus that saves them. It's Jesus that changes them. But don't we want that every day Jesus is adding to their numbers? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing if we came back that each day God added somebody so that each day next week we came back and there's 7 more in this room. And then the week after that, there were 14 more in the room. And then the week after that, we're up 21. I mean, wouldn't that be crazy if we went from 40 to 405 people by the end of next year because each day next year, God added one person? Wouldn't that be awesome? Because their lives are changed. And Jesus' church is building up. And heaven's getting bigger. And that's what it's all about, because a healthy church is outward focused. If we have the other 11 traits and miss the final trait, then we're missing the heart of God. A healthy church is outward focused. So the thing that we have to do is, one, we have to be constant inviters. Invite others to join us on the adventure of, one, rebuilding a church, but two, the adventure of just knowing God. So we're just constant inviters. Hey, come be a part of what God is doing. And then also, we want to be diverse. Because prejudice devalues a soul. And God created everyone, so we want to include everyone to be a part of things. And a core value, you see that I have pretty much everywhere. It's right at the top of our website. You see it each week on the welcome screens. It's this, a core value of mine. Every soul matters to God. Or the way I phrase it when I put it on the slides is, you matter to God. Because what I firmly believe is every life is priceless and irreplaceable. So what do? I love everyone that Jesus loves. The gospel did not start in America with white people. But I love everyone that Jesus loves. I take care of what is on God's heart, and He will take care of what is on my heart. Every life matters to God. You matter to God. Every life is priceless and irreplaceable. And we want to love who Jesus loves and invite them to meet Him and to know Him and to see their lives changed, so they can make an impact, so their lives can be changed, and then they can turn around and make an impact in their world. What a wonderful thing. So we want to make sure that we're always doing what we can to be a healthy church. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can. Because health reproduces itself. Healthy things grow. and we want to make an impact.